98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Charles Barkley, Steve Nash, Diana Taurasi, they were all Valley MVPs. They all felt local, and they all felt worthy, even if Shaq didn't like losing the award to a stringy-haired, pass-first point guard. But James Harden, that's another story. No doubt he was the MVP after the first 82 games, but the playoffs were not his finest moment again, and it's clear to me that this award needs a new name now, like regular season MVP. Anything else is an affront to basketball and to LeBron James, just like it was for Michael Jordan. And if you want to hear something absurd, James and Jordan combined for 30 NBA seasons and have just 9 MVP trophies combined. Now, is Harden local? Technically, yes. Just like Phil Mickelson, just like most of us. He was a huge recruiting score for Herb Sendick, and he'll still show up to games on occasion, flashing pitchfork signs with gusto. But he came to Tempe mainly because he promised he would follow his high school coach anywhere, and Sendek was smart enough to hire that guy. In the end, Harden was a really good college player, but left you wanting more. He brought ASU to the NCAA tournament once and looked nothing like an impact player, kind of like what he's done in the NBA. He's a devastating offensive force who still struggles to breathe at high altitude where the biggest stages seem to spawn erratic behavior. Yeah, he's our new MVP. And further proof that the award is just a trophy and not always the truth. Off we go. Second half of the program.
We're going to fight today, I think.
I've sensed this coming from about 9:15 today, dude. I don't know. You got a lot of anger in you today.
Oh, harsh on James.
I don't know what. I don't care what you think of my opinion. It's my opinion. Call it harsh if you want. I call it truth.
Wait, we're doing a talk show, and you don't care what I think of your opinion?
No, I don't care if you're calling my opinion harsh.
I don't think your idea is a bad one.
All right. Well, no, of course, because it's not. That's not right. It's not regular season MVP. That to me is what this award should be called.
Or, but just do an MVP that counts for the regular season and playoffs combined.
That'd be convoluted. To have two MVPs or one?
No, just one that counts for everything.
Yes. I mean, you can do that.
The award right now basically has regular season in parentheses.
Mm-hmm.
We all acknowledge it's a regular, like last year's winner, Russell Westbrook. Regular season MVP. There was some controversy on who should win it. I think James Harden had a pretty strong case last year, too. Russell Westbrook played 5 playoff games last year.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Is LeBron James, in your opinion, the second best basketball player ever? Yes or no? You're looking to even argue with me about this.
For argument's sake, I'll say
Vinny,
yes.
Is that sky out there blue today?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Whatever. Is he one of the world's greatest players ever? Okay. What do you think he thinks of the MVP trophy?
He's probably not that big of a fan.
What about Michael Jordan? Do you think he's a
probably
fan?
Not that big of a fan.
Do you think maybe we have a problem if the two greatest players in NBA history think the MVP trophy is a joke?
It's not about being the
greatest
player.
Then maybe it
player.
Should be. Then maybe it should include the playoffs. Maybe you should make a disclaimer that this is for the regular season only. Maybe I saw a different James Harden in the playoffs than
How
you did.
How did James Harden fail in the playoffs?
Because
he got to a game 7 against a historical juggernaut without his second best player. We will all acknowledge that basketball is a sport predicated on having 1, 2, 3, possibly 4 superstars. James Harden had one and went to battle with Golden State over the last 2 games of that series.
Fine. I give him credit for that.
How was that a failure?
Because of the way he played in the last 2 games, the shot selection, the dumb decisions, the step-back three-pointers, never taking the ball to the basket, the fear that I'm not going to get these calls if I go to the basket, I'm not going to end up on the free-throw line, so I'm just going to hoist jump shot after jump shot. When Chris Paul left that team and didn't come back, James Harden did nothing to compensate for him. Nothing.
Okay.
His game 6 and game 7 both left a lot to be desired, in my opinion. You can love his regular season all you want, but to me, an NBA MVP doesn't play like that in Game 6 and Game 7.
I think he could have played like an MVP in Game 6 and Game 7, and they still would have been beaten.
Whatever. And had he played like an MVP, I wouldn't be saying what I'm saying. I wouldn't.
Well, but had he not had Chris Paul for a good chunk of the year, and Chris Paul did miss some time, he wouldn't be the MVP either.
Okay. James Harden not only was awful in Game 7, he refused to shake hands with the Warriors after it was over. Now, that doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but to me, the MVP award in basketball should mean something. It's the sport of all sports that relies and leans and is built on superstars. It's all about being the guy. In football, yeah, quarterbacks know they're the guy, but they're smart enough to know that they couldn't last 5 minutes without the five or six guys blocking for them.
Sure.
Or good people to throw to. In basketball, you don't have to pass the ball. And MVPs can do, really, they rise to a different level in basketball because, to me, that's what the sport is about. More than any other, it's about individual greatness.
Okay.
So how do you define it? To me, you define it, I've always defined MVPs and great players by their uncanny ability to make huge shots in clutch situations. Larry Bird did it. Michael Jordan did it. Magic Johnson, who wasn't even the best of shooters, always found a way to make big shots. That's what great players do.
James Harden, in the last two games of that series, I went back and looked at it because I'm expecting to see he scored 4 points. He averaged 32 points over the last two games.
Okay. Again, to me, this is not about his point production. This was about how he performed in the fourth quarter, particularly Game 7, and just the shot selections he took and how his confusion and his lack of on-court leadership and showing the team the way led that team to completely fall apart.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. In Game 6, they came out after halftime with the lead in Golden State without Chris Paul. They authored one of the ugliest third quarters I have ever seen in my life, and it was largely because James Harden did not light a path for that team. Game 7, more of the same.
I think the Game 6 third quarter was actually the key to the series.
Yeah.
When they just went completely cold from three-point range.
Uh-huh.
I think they missed, 24 in a row or whatever it was, if memory serves. And that was obviously a team-wide thing.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that James Harden is not the most popular player. I referred to him as his style of play is divisive.
Yep.
A lot of people don't like watching him play. But it's really hard to argue. Well, you can make a case for LeBron James, certainly. He can make a case every year for what he did, especially for what the Cavs overcame this year during the course of the season.
Yeah.
That this might have been the year. Had the Cavs, I hate to put too much stock in the regular season, but had they not been a four seed in the East, he might have won the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, James Harden threw, did Houston have as much adversity this year as Cleveland? Not nearly, but Chris Paul did miss a substantial amount of time, and they still wrapped up the best record in the league.
When the playoffs were over, at least going into the NBA Finals, was the story not LeBron James possibly pulling off the greatest postseason of his career because he was lifting a ragtag team to a potential NBA championship? That was the storyline.
Yeah.
How is that not the most valuable player?
And then he punched a wall and broke his hand and wasn't as good in the finals because of that.
That wouldn't have mattered. That would, after they lost.
You don't blame him for that?
Oh, I do blame him for that. That's bad. That's poor leadership. Of course I do. I've already ripped him for that. But if you're going to step back and ask me after the playoffs were over, which is the point of it all, it's not to accumulate incredible stats over 82 regular season games where half the people in the NBA don't give a rat's asterisk, okay? The point is to win a championship and to win playoff games and to perform in the biggest stages. So if you're telling me that anybody other than LeBron James is MVP, I'm telling you you're nuts.
All right, let me ask you this then. Which team was more competitive against Golden State?
Houston.
Houston with James Harden and without Chris Paul, or LeBron? And
No, I would not say Houston was. Houston was more competitive without Chris Paul?
No, I'm saying they were more competitive
with Chris Paul
than Cleveland was. Houston without Chris Paul was even way more competitive against, well, you can't
disagree
they lost two games.
I disagree.
It was 0-6. But anyway, you said something earlier, too, about MVPs finding ways to win championships, make the big shots in crunch time. This is going to be an unpopular thing I'm about to say.
Uh-huh.
Steve Nash won back-to-back titles, or back-to-back MVPs. And I know there was bad luck involved. But what exactly did he do in those playoff scenarios to elevate his team to a championship?
Oh, man. You know, we are going to fight today. Steve Nash.
I'm just saying,
Steve Nash.
If you want to make the argument against one player, it's got to be spread out among all players, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the argument's not the same. James Harden's performance in Game 6 in the second half and in Game 7, where he went his stat line's fine, 32 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He was 2 of 13 from the 3-point stripe, and he was jacking up ridiculous shots. And this is a guy who can get to the rack better and more seamlessly than most anybody in the NBA. And he refused to do it. Why? Because he wilted. That's why. Steve Nash never won a championship. But Steve Nash never had a choking moment in a playoff game. To the contrary, Steve Nash was about as nails as you got when needing to make big shots. I could sit here and rattle off 15 of them from 2004 to 2011. No, okay. I couldn't. But I know they exist because I watched them. I know they existed. He was money in crunch time. That's the big difference here. And that's my issue with James Harden. He has the talent to lead Houston even without Chris Paul. Proved it in the first half of that game in Golden State. And that second half, man, did he just disappear, and that team just collapsed underneath him.
Well, I disagree with most of what you've said during this discussion, I think a layer of it that's being left out is, and I brought this up before too, I don't think many people, it's not universal, the credit that should be given to Golden State for being an all-time great team.
Mm-hmm.
In Game 6 and Game 7, you had James Harden paired with P.J. Tucker, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, Gerald Green, Ryan Anderson, and Joe Johnson. Certainly a pretty good NBA roster.
Yeah.
But not a roster with 4 All-Stars on it, with a well-oiled machine.
I agree.
And a pretty rested team because Steph Curry hadn't taxed himself in the regular season due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Golden State fatigue is real because I don't think people realize how great they are.
Okay, maybe there's something to that, Vinny. What I'm saying is I'm just going by the eye test. In that second half of that Golden State-Houston game was one of the most nauseating things you could ever watch if you were a Rockets fan. The team took a double-digit lead into the half and ended up getting blown out. Game 7, the shot selection. To me, it was ridiculous. And yeah, that's what they do. They shoot threes. James Harden is one of the best at going to the rim. Great basketball players.
I agree.
Okay, that's it. That's all I'm saying.
Let's say, Chris Paul is back with Houston next year. Let's look into the crystal ball. James Harden is obviously back. They add another top-tier free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And they somehow win a title. That legitimizes James Harden more? Just by adding more superstar talent?
No, James Harden performing well in big games in clutch situations.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay. It is a Tuesday. We got some business to attend to before we move on.
Ticket Window Tuesday opens now.
I'll still call on you to give me a caller number, Vic. I ain't mad at you.
Caller number 6 this time, Vinny.
Caller 6.
Nothing wrong with spirited debate. It's all good, man.
Ticket Window Tuesday presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. Caller number 6 right now, 602-260-9870. You're going to win a $250 gift card to Barbecues Galore to make sure you're ready for the biggest grilling holiday of the year, 4th of July. Of course, again, that is caller 6 right now, 602-260-9870. Before you know it, NFL training camps will begin, and that means Rookies and veterans for the Arizona Cardinals will report to Glendale. We'll check in with a Cardinals rookie now. Offensive lineman Corey Cunningham joins the show here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Corey, how are you, man?
Doing great. How about you?
Good, thanks. We were just we were fighting over James Harden being the MVP. So
you don't have to bring other people into our argument, dude.
I'm just giving Corey some background.
Yeah, a lot of debates going on about that right now.
Are you a Hoops fan?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Are you are you of the belief that the award should go to the best player? Like LeBron James always has the annual argument that he should be the most valuable player. Do you buy into that?
Because he is.
The award should definitely go to the best player, but you know. I mean, LeBron's been there every single year, going back and forth, getting the award and everything. So, you know, it's good. For me, I'm a huge Kobe Bryant fan, so it's great to see somebody like James Harden get the award.
And I can't believe, we were talking this earlier, we can't believe Kobe only got one MVP over his course of his career. Crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I was in an argument, your regular Kobe and LeBron argument the other day, and then somebody said that, and it just shut me up right there. So there's nothing else I can say right there.
All right, Corey, you've got a great story coming out of Cincinnati. Like my partner said, you were a top tight end prospect coming out of high school, and you weighed 220 pounds. How did you become a massive, outstanding offensive lineman?
Oh, man, yeah, like you said, definitely a crazy story. So, you know, got to Cincinnati in the summer of 2013. I was probably 220 pounds, soaking wet. I mean, I looked like I was never ate a day in my life and everything like that. So, you know, I was very, very skinny and all that stuff. Really never really worked out. Me and my high school teammates, we're all just like country strong, small country town, everything like that. So, you know, I got to Cincinnati. I was tight end, defensive end my first year. I redshirted that first year, so I was pretty much doing a little bit of both. And I was my locker was always inside the offensive lineman, so they were like, I was playing around with them one day in the locker room, you know, getting the offensive pass pro stance and everything, trying to kick set and all that stuff. And then, you know, the offensive line coach, Darren Hiller, he walked past. He's like, wait, do that again. And everybody just looked at me like, yep, you're offensive lineman now. So like the next day, I got to the facilities, and Coach Tuberville had me up in his office. They had like a full slideshow of all the offensive tackles that they coached, who were like in the NFL now and things like that. So it was crazy. It was crazy.
Corey Cunningham, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Now the nickname Big Country. Did you get that nickname before or after you put on all the weight and became an offensive lineman?
Well, I had it in high school, and you know, growing up, I was always the biggest kid in everything I did. And, you know, I was, like, hoping. I was like, man, I hope the nickname Big Country does not get to Cincinnati. I don't want anybody to find out about it. I mean, right when I got there, my official visit off the plane to, like, Big Country, and I was like, oh, man. Like, they found out about it. So, I mean, I guess that's just something that's going to be stuck with me for life.
All right, let's talk about playing your position in the NFL. How big of an adjustment do you expect it to be, Corey?
I mean, you got guys that are, you know, your size, you know, still, like, bigger than the guys you had in college, defensive ends that are, I mean, your size is not bigger, you know, coming at you and things like that, you know, being better athletes than you ever thought about being, rushing the edge and things like that. So, you know, you just got to be on your P's and Q's and things like that. You know, I mean, it's going to be a big adjustment, but, you know, I'm ready for the challenge for sure.
Yeah, people always talk about the adjustment from college football to the pros. You were a seventh-round pick, and from that time, Corey, when you hear your name called to – this moment in time now, you've gone through the rookie minicamp and OTAs and minicamp and getting ready for training camp. I mean, just, how much have you learned? I mean, how much is your head spinning from that whole process?
I mean, the rookie minicamp was like really like a big eye-opener for me. I was like, all right, now you got to get it going, things like that. And going to the OTAs, you know, just being in front of all the veterans on the offensive line, you know, like Justin Pugh, you know, DJ Humphries for sure, big time. I mean, all the guys, you know, Andre Smith, I mean, every single guy learning from the center, like AQ, just listening to all those guys talk, things like that. Then I feel like I got the best coaches I've ever had in my life with, you know, Coach Brown and Coach Hyden. I mean, those guys are just like just open textbooks. I'm just trying to pick their mind and everything I do now. So, I mean, I got a great supporter all around me. And, you know, if I just – you know, I got two ears, one mouth. I just hush and listen. You know, the sky's the limit.
Well, you've got a great personality and a big, deep voice. Dude, you're going to be a radio star when your playing career is over.
Hey, I wouldn't put it past me at all.
You're already debating. You're already involved in Kobe LeBron debates, man. You're checking all the boxes, Corey.
Oh yeah. I can go on all day.
Corey Cunningham, our guest here on Bickley and Marotta. You mentioned, you know, being around the veterans, and it's a group of offensive linemen we've got to know over the years, and even new guys like Andre and Justin, but DJ Humphrey's got a huge personality. Evan Bame's a lot of fun. AQ's a lot of fun. I imagine there's a lot of learning and a lot of professionalism in the offensive line room, but you guys probably have a good time too, don't you?
Oh, we definitely have a good time. You know, it's all business. We're going to get that work in, but you got to have fun while you're doing it. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I mean, it's the most fun I've had, like being around these guys. You know, you got different personalities from every single person. I mean, it's just a good time laughing, but still, like, you're still getting the work in, still learning every day. And it just makes it coming into work every day. It makes it better, something to look forward to.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tell me, and again, you talk about the chemistry of this team. There seems to be an interesting vibe among these offensive linemen, a blend of personalities. Who are you getting along with? What are some of your observations about some of these guys?
I literally get along with everybody. You know, like I said, DJ Humphries, I'm in his back pocket and everything. everything we do. I mean, I'm watching his every move, every step. I ask him why he takes that step. You know, he tells me, I mean, that helps him when I ask him why he did that, because it makes him think about why he did stuff. And then, like, you know, being inside, like, Justin Pugh, I got some rest of right tackle with the ones the last week of OTAs. And just playing beside Justin Pugh, like, the way he just – wait, how vocal he is at everything he does. And then listen to a guy like AQ in the meeting room, how he sees things. It's like – I mean, he's seeing stuff that, like, the offensive coordinator probably doesn't even see, or, like, somebody else doesn't even see. Like, he's, like, one step ahead of everybody all the time. So, you know, just being around those guys, and then coming in the room, they have, like, great personality and things. So, you know, it's awesome.
What would you say at this point, or even coming out of college, Corey, what would you say is your strength as an offensive lineman?
Strength as offensive lineman. Seeing things before they happen, be honest. You know, at this league, I've already learned that they disguise things a lot better. You know, the pace is fast, but, like, my strength is just, like, I mean, I have the size and everything to do what I need to do, and, like, once I for sure get comfortable, learn everything comfortable, and once I can just play ball, it's on from there, basically.
All right. Looking at your quality of competition, how do you feel? I mean, do you feel like you are ultimately prepared for what is going forward, and what inside of you do you think will make you a good offensive lineman? Because they say, Corey, you got to have some of that dog. You've got to want that contact. You're going to want to engage. And if you don't, you're probably not going to be very good. What's inside of you that's going to help you with this?
I mean, I just have a natural edge, you know, like, just things just keep – I mean, it's a blessing that things in this life just keep giving me an edge. Like, you know, didn't get invited to the combine, okay? So that made me train that much harder when I was training, made me go to pro day. And, you know, I put up numbers and nobody at the combine even did. So, all right, so that shows guys, all right, you should invite this guy to the combine. You know, this guy just jumped 35 and a half, 36 inches vertical, you know, broad jump, 9-11, something the guys in the combine didn't do, ran a 4.88 40 at 313 pounds. So, you know, I mean, that's just my edge. I had a huge chip on my shoulder. I'm very determined. And, you know, 7th-round draft pick. I thought it was going to be earlier than that. So, you know, now I have to show guys now that, you know, this guy should not have been a 7th-round draft pick. He should have been before that. And, like I said, like, talk is cheap. I'm more of a guy that's going to go do it and look at, stare you down while I do it. And, like, all right, make you wish that, you know, you let you know that you messed up, basically.
I like that answer.
On my visit here, you know, I was talking to all the coaches, the GM, the owner, and all them, and they were just like, somebody's going to draft you. You know, I knew, like, once I saw Arizona had that last year, I was like, it's time to go to work now, you know. So, I mean, it's a blessing.
Playing tackle in the NFL has got to be one of the toughest jobs in all of sports, especially when it's a passing situation and everybody in the stadium knows it. With the quality of edge rushers this league has, is there a guy that's, like, at the top of your dream list of a guy to match up with on a pass situation to try to shut him down that you'd really like to go up against?
Von Miller, for sure.
Yeah.
100%. Definitely got to be Von. I just hear all the guys, how they talk about him, everything. And, you know, even when I got here, like, when I got drafted, I was like, man, I just hope I get a rep against Chandler Jones and things like that. And, like, not even gonna lie, like, the first day, I got thrown in, got a rep with the ones at left tackle, and Chandler Jones was right there. I mean, he hit me with a shifty move, like it was craziness. Yeah, I know he was past me, so I was like, all right, I know what it's like now. I gotta get it going now, and things like that. So, you know, I mean, just those little things.
All right, Corey, listen, man, this well, go ahead, Vinny.
Sorry. I thought you had another question.
No, I didn't. I'm good. I want to say, man, I'm serious, dude. You've got a great personality, and we love – I've said it before. Nothing better than training camp when you get a bunch of big, sweaty offensive linemen. But the guys with big personality are awesome. And since you've been in DJ's back pocket, I'm sure you've heard a Shaquille O'Neal impression.
I actually have not. I didn't even know he had that. I'm going to have to ask him about
that. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to ask him about he's been keeping that. He kept that hidden from me.
Yeah, we always put him on the spot when he comes on the show and make him do it.
Run it by him, Corey. You're going to be blown away by it.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to do that for sure.
Corey, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Good to get to know you a little bit, and hopefully we can chat again during training camp.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Corey Cunningham of the Arizona Cardinals, our guest, seventh-round pick out of Cincinnati. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's CoulterTempe.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. Coming up, it's Tuesday. We'll cool off a little bit.
Oh, we're good, man.
We'll get into some competition.
I love that guy.
Next.
That guy is great. Wasn't he great?
Yeah. A lot of fun.
I got no issues, man. It's all good. I like spirited debate.
You want to hug it out?
Not yet.
Social media is blowing up.
Or?
You want to go? Shut up, Bick. Mock My World is next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Which player do you want the Suns to target in free agency the most? Your choices, Avery Bradley, Aaron Gordon, Jabari Parker, Marcus Smart, or other?
I like Marcus Smart. I just don't think they can afford him.
Of that group, I would probably take Marcus Smart, too. I like a couple of those players. Aaron Gordon leading with 36% of the vote. Other got 22%. 17 for Jabari Parker. 14 for Marcus Smart. 11% for Avery Bradley. But however you feel, you can cast your vote right now. It's the Sanderson Ford poll question right now on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
Bickley and Murata, Mock My World.
Stop mocking me!
All right, it's that time. It used to be the Aaron Maloney juggernaut. Now it's the Dan Bickley juggernaut.
Not for long.
It's two in a row?
Yeah.
Two wins. I haven't won Mock My World in a really long time.
You had that stretch.
Maybe that would explain your anger today.
Vince won 4 out of 5.
I'm not angry. I will apologize for the people said it was kind of an awkward discussion.
No, I don't think it was awkward. Really? Why?
Because I started my rebuttal to you with the words, "We're going to fight today."
Well,
I shouldn't have said that.
No. You've had an edge to you all day long, but that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I think the passion in that top, especially the second time around, the James Harden discussion, I think that translated well on the air.
Yeah.
You guys don't hate each other. We all know you guys are good friends.
We're like Judge Smells and Spalding. We're regular pals. How about a fresco? Right?
You know what, Bick? You'll get nothing. Unlike...
No, listen, Vinny and I are really close friends. We don't always get along. There are times when he's really aggravated with me, and vice versa. It's the way friendships work.
Wait, you've been aggravated with me before? Anyhow.
Mostly when you've been unduly and unfairly aggravated by me. See how that works?
I see it. Yeah, I do see how that's very telling. All right, Mock My World this week, in honor of James Harden winning the MVP, the former Arizona State Sun Devil. Our topic for today, we'll each be drafting, and by I mean each of us, Jared Carlin, Dan Bickley, myself, and Andy Greenberg, we'll be drafting 4-member teams made up of the greatest professional athletes from Arizona colleges.
Yes. Not just grew up here, but from ASU, Arizona, NAU, GCU, whatever.
Embry-Riddle. All right, we did hold the draft order thanks to is it random.org?
Yes.
Random.org. Andy got the first pick. I got the second pick. Defending champion Dan Bickley's got the third pick. And Jarrett Carlin will have the fourth pick. Snake style, 4-round draft. With that being said, let's kick it off, Andy.
Oh, man.
You got
this was like one
time. The first pick, you're already stumped.
Well, this was one time where I didn't want the first pick just because there's so many different directions to go. I am going to make the homer pick and go Rob Gronkowski.
Wow. As the first pick.
Double wow.
I do agree he is the greatest tight end of all time.
Triple wow.
He is
Wait a minute.
He is the greatest tight end of all time. Now,
did you ever watch Kellen Winslow play football?
Yeah, he's better than him.
You didn't watch Kellen Winslow play.
I didn't. No,
he just watches TV shows from that era.
He is the...
Did you ever watch Mike Ditka play football?
No, I watched Kellen Winslow Jr. play.
Yeah.
He's better than him.
He was no good.
Yeah, and no good in a lot of ways.
He holds single season... Now,
you ever watch Tony Gonzalez play?
Whatever. Let's move on.
Antonio Gates?
Yes, he's better than both those guys.
Okay, he's better than Tony Gonzalez?
Yes. He probably won't have a better career than Tony Gonzalez.
You're up. Somebody's up.
I'm up.
You're up.
My number one overall pick.
We're all going to fight each other today.
I don't know where to go on this. The guy won an MVP. He was a slice of Americana. In the late 70s and early 80s.
It's a good one.
The biggest star in baseball at the time, Reggie Jackson.
That's a good
pick.
I
must kill.
Right.
The Queen.
The second reference to Naked Gun, that scene in Naked Gun. All right, Dan?
I will take Phil Mickelson, one of the greatest golfers in the history of the sport.
Absolutely.
All right, Jarrett, you got two picks.
All right, I'm going to do... What should have been the number one pick, but everyone's afraid to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Barry Bonds. Arguably the greatest baseball player.
Stoudemire.
Phil Mickelson is better at his sport than Barry Bonds was at his. In terms of ranking near the top of the greatest players ever.
Barry Bonds is arguably...
I'm going to disagree with you.
The greatest baseball player of all time.
But he's just among the least. Sorry, he invalidated that.
No, he's just among the least liked baseball players.
No, he invalidated that by using PEDs.
It's true. He never got suspended once during his career for using PEDs, though. And I do not like him at all.
All right, so go up and take him.
Okay. And then my second pick, I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with James Harden. Just won the MVP... Whether it was deserved or not, but one of the five best players in the NBA right now.
I wanted to do this as a subject just because I wanted to see Jarrett and Andy pick all ASU.
I know.
Andy already bucked that trend.
That's outstanding.
All right, Beck, your second pick?
My second pick will be Terrell Suggs.
Good one.
All right. That's a pretty good pick. All right, my second pick, I think I'm going to go... football as well, and it's not the sexiest name, but in terms of being one of the all-time greats at his position, I'm going with Randall McDaniel.
Ooh, okay.
He was an awesome football player.
No, he was. Yeah, no doubt.
Andy, you got back-to-back picks now.
Boy.
The greatest athletes of all time that went to college in Arizona.
I'm going to take a Hall of Fame closer from the University of Arizona, Trevor Hoffman.
Okay.
See, you were completely wrong about Andy. He might go all U of A.
Yeah.
Might, yeah.
He might finish last place in the vote.
And let's see here. I got my list. And I might have to just keep going U of A and take a... 8-time champion Steve Kerr.
Ooh, that's a good one. That was going to be my next pick. All right.
Man, you are a homer.
Man, you can say that again.
Hey, multiple-time champion as a player and a head coach.
All right, Bick went golf. I'm going to go golf as well. I'm going to pick the greatest female golfer of all time.
Oh, Annika.
Annika Sorenstam of the U of A.
Ahead of her time. Was the first woman right to play in a men's PGA event?
I believe you're correct.
Yes.
Bick would probably know that. You know that, Bick? I think he's right.
Yes.
I think that it was a big thing at the time.
Well, Michelle Wee did as well.
Right, but she did it first. She did it first.
Yeah.
All right, you're up, Bick.
Oh, I am?
Yep.
Okay, I'll take Dustin Pedroia.
Good. MVP.
Baseball player. Boston Red Sox.
Major League Baseball MVP.
Yep.
World Series winner. All right. I got my last two here. I'm going to go with Teddy Bruschi, multiple-time Super Bowl champion.
Okay.
Now, how are we framing this? Athletes? Like, if I pick a coach... No.
He waits till the fourth pick
because I have... If I pick someone who didn't have such a great athletic career, but is an outstanding coach, a tremendous Hall
of
Fame coach.
Go ahead. I mean, the category was greatest professional athletes from Arizona schools, so do what you want. Who were you going to pick?
I was going to pick Terry Francona.
Yeah, he didn't have a great athletic career. Decent major league career.
All right, forget it. I'm not going to pick him then. I'm going to go with Jenny Finch, the greatest softball player of all time.
Or at least the only one that anybody can name.
Hey, that's probably means something then.
That's funny. What made you back off a coach, Jarrett? Would it be the best athlete from one of the Arizona schools? Would that be the thing that makes it?
Wait, what if it was a good athlete, but he didn't go to school in Arizona? Could I pick him?
What if he was a coach like Bob Bauman who brought Michael Phelps into the scene? How about that?
The only reason
would
I did
count?
This. The reason I did this was because I wanted you to gang up against me so that you could make up on the show.
We are not fighting.
I know.
For once and for all.
All right.
Vic said he's going to take me to lunch after the show.
Oh.
I did.
Don't say it like this. I'm going to take you to lunch.
I did.
With a knuckle sandwich is what he's going to take it in.
Right.
All right.
Jake Plummer.
Jake Snake Plummer.
Jake Plummer.
Look, there's all these other guys I want to pick. Sal Bando.
Wait, there's still picks to be made.
Vince, you got your last pick here.
I'm going baseball. I'm not picking an ASU player. I'm not picking a U of A player. I'm picking a former GCU Antelope who also is a Hall of Famer at my high school. Tim Salmon.
Oh, good. Nice.
The problem with Tim Salmon.
Never made an all-star game.
Not even the best player in Angels history.
Named after a fish.
Isn't that amazing?
That's outstanding, Jarrett.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your punchline.
Catfish Hunter.
Catfish Hunter.
All right, last
Charlie
pick.
Charlie Tuna. Starling pick. Marlin.
Steve Trout. Mike Trout.
Go ahead, Jarrett.
I think it's my turn, right?
Andy's with his last pick. Yeah, my team's done.
Trying to figure out who that last pick is going to be.
Yeah, it's getting low on U of A choices.
Yeah, I know. And, I mean, there's some ASU guys there, but...
I got a couple of U of A guys left.
But where's Gilbert Arenas on this list? Everybody says Gilbert Arenas is a better player than James Harden. I mean, where is he on this list?
He might
for two
as well
or three
be in
years.
Jail.
For two or three years, Gilbert Arenas was as good as James Harden. So.
I'm going to go with another basketball player and NBA champion, Sean Elliott.
Good one. Great college career, too.
Has anybody ever been shut out in Mock My World before?
I got five.
I am a career second place finisher.
I got 5%.
I expect that to happen.
I have the lowest of all time score. I had a 5% one week.
All right. The voting is complete. You can flood us now with all the athletes that we missed, and there's tons of them.
Nick Foles.
I'm sure.
Kenny Lofton.
We'll get the graphic up. We'll get this on.
Celine Stoudemire.
We'll get this up on Twitter and let the voting begin. It's Mock My World every Tuesday here on Bickley and Murata 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
It is the human version of a train wreck. You can't look away.
I like this guy. They're funny guys.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
We weren't flooded with names that really stood out, although Mark did offer one that should have been on the list, but because he was a stud football player so long ago, probably didn't get picked. Mike Haynes.
Oh,
one
yeah.
One of the great corners of all time.
How about Eric Allen?
Very good.
Yeah.
Not as good as Mike Haynes.
I agree. Yeah. Good point.
All right, D-backs continuing their series against the Miami Marlins today. A game you can hear 4:10 first pitch over on ESPN 620. Pregame begins at 3:30. Zach Godley on the mound for the Diamondbacks today. They lose the opener 9-5. There's more to this Manny Machado situation, Vic. It keeps getting written about. Today it was Ken Rosenthal of the Athletic Who,
Sal Bandel, Ken Rosenthal, Vida Blue,
Joe Rudy, Reggie Jackson,
Eagles and Gee,
Bert Campanaris.
Bert Campanaris. Right?
Catfish Hunter.
Courtney Lansford.
You're mixing up the era.
You're really mixing up the eras. Gene Tennis. You remember Gene Tennis? Isn't that great?
Ken Rosenthal wrote, "Can the D-backs satisfy the Orioles for Manny Machado?" He wrote, "Nothing has occurred since the offseason to diminish the Arizona Diamondbacks' interest in Manny Machado. As I wrote on January 12th, the D-backs are operating in a short-term competitive window with center fielder A.J. Pollock, left-hander Patrick Corbin eligible for free agency after this season, first baseman Paul Goldschmidt after 2019, and Jake Lamb after 2020. D-backs ranked 23rd in F-WAR at shortstop. Nick Ahmed is an elite defender at short, but not much of a hitter. Machado would provide a major offensive upgrade and could be a difference maker in a showdown with the Dodgers and perhaps San Francisco and Colorado in the NL West. Here's where it gets good. Problem is, Baseball America ranked the Diamondbacks farm system the sixth worst in the majors before the season started. Making matters more difficult, two of the players the D-backs initially discussed with the Orioles, infielder Brandon Drury and left-hander Anthony Bonda, went to the Yankees and Tampa Bay, respectively, in the three-team deal that brought outfielder Steven Souza to Arizona. The D-backs, though, are deep in infielders in both the majors and minors, and they're also developing a number of pitching prospects, including Double-A right-hander Taylor Widener, another player they acquired in the Souza deal. If the Orioles reach down to Class A Kane County, they'll find three of the D-backs' top 15 prospects, according to MLBPipeline.com. Right-hander Johan Duran, outfielders Gabriel Maciel and Eduardo Diaz. Other teams might be better positioned to acquire Machado. Few will be more motivated than Arizona.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
The part that stood out to me was the part where these talks have been going on for a while, and players that were discussed who are major league ready in Drury and Bonda. Now, Bonda's having Tommy John surgery, already had Tommy John surgery. For Tampa Bay, Drury got hurt and spent time in the minors too, and now it's just a logjam of talent. his time in New York might not be that long. I don't the D-backs and Ken Rosenthal brings up a great point. The D-backs farm system is just not highly regarded, and there seems to be a lot of mystery and a lot of names floating about on whether or not they could get this deal done or what it would take to get this deal done with so many. Not top tier prospects.
Yeah. But
it won't go away. Somebody writes about this every single day.
Yeah, they do. And we're getting Buster Olney and Ken Rosenthal. And these are not, these are frontline baseball writers with speed dial to a lot of baseball executives. That tells me that the Diamondbacks are in this game. It also tells me that if that's how deep that they have to reach to find prospects to give Baltimore, then A, they're going to be handicapped, and B, they're really going to be depleted after making this trade.
They're depleted now.
I know.
And Taylor Widener has had a really good season at Jackson in Double-A. He's the guy that just got. So they're making strides to improve, and every draft it's going to improve.
Yeah.
But if you're that far down the list of major league farm systems anyway.
Yeah.
I kind of even put my chips more toward the middle of the table and say, let's just go for it. You got no chance to bring back Manny Machado, who is going to break the bank in free agency. Look, Bob Nightingale of USA Today was on with Doug and Wolf this morning and said this about Machado's future.
Ooh, I think about $350 million, maybe $400 million. Everybody talks about Bryce Harper. This guy's having a much better year than Bryce Harper.
$400 million. For an athlete.
Yeah, for an athlete, for a baseball player. Right? Well, put it in the college fund. All right. I would love for them to win this derby because one of the things that I've learned the hard way, and I think you agree with this, the future is an illusion in sports and in life. It doesn't exist. It might. But once it's here, it's not the future anymore.
It sounded like Lonnie Walker IV just then.
This is a very existential thing to say. The future is an illusion. It does not exist. Once it's here, it's the present. When it's the future,
it still hasn't happened. In sports, the idea that you're building towards something, it's folly. Because if you were building a house, okay, you could say at some point in time, this house is going to be done in the future. Because there's not 29 other home builders coming at your house with hammers and saws trying to tear it down.
True.
That's what they do in pro sports. You don't build teams in a vacuum. There is no future.
Man, that is deep. Woo. That is deep.
In other words, get Manny Machado. That's what I'm saying.
Long story short, go ahead and make the trade, for goodness sake. Coming up, we've already fought about the NBA MVP award. Let's fight about the NFL Top 100 next. What do you say, Bick? Get your gloves on, man. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.